Yeah. Madison just blessed the living daylights out of me. Very, very, very special. So, thank you. I know she left, but wow. So, all right. So I promised, as promised, we would leave current events and get back to the Bible, back to the stuff. And so today, Psalm 119, verse 129, will begin, and it is the Hebrew letter Pei. Pei. This is the Hebrew letter right here. I think you can all see it, right? You guys can see it? Pei, right here. So that's how it's pronounced, Pei, just like Pei, like I wrote it. It's actually P-E, Pei. I'm calling today Payday, Psalm 129, or 119:29. It's Pei. Now, this is one of my favorite sections of all that we've done, of all these. And let me just say this. It's a very emphatic. It's very emotional. It's very, wah, praise God. It's very upbeat. It's very cool. You can feel the author just kind of like emoting, just praising, just wow. This is a very, very amazing, amazing section of this psalm. Pei means mouth. The letter Pei has to do with mouth, speak. It's open, so the mouth is open. Whatever it's the mouth of, it's open. You can almost see it in the shape of it here, right? Like an open mouth right here kind of thing. This little dot right here, when that dot is in there, and for my way of remembering things, there's food in the mouth, so you pronounce it Pei, and that is the typical, typical pronunciation of that. However, there are other little squiggles and things they put around to tell them how it is. But if you take that off of there, then it's pronounced Fay, P-H-A-Y. But that's not the normal. The normal way has that in there, and it's pronounced Pei. And it means a mouth, you speak, it's open. Something to do with the mouth and opening. And so in the Hebrew way of looking at the part right before ayin has to do with seeing and understanding and serving then. And so the logical next step is to open your mouth and speak. So you see and you understand and you move and then you speak. And that's the right way to do things according to a Jewish person. When you speak first and then you see and try and understand, that's called idle chatter. And so the Jewish people look at this and they say, yep, that's in the right order. We see, we understand, we're able to serve, and then we speak later. And so that's even the order of the alphabet. However, for today, we're going to concentrate on Pei, mouth, open, speak. And you're going to see as we go through this why this is prominent in this. It begins kind of with this praise, this emphatic, emotional, wow, for the Word of God. And then it gets kind of like prayer-like. And then it ends with a final verse. So let's begin. Verse 129. And this is kind of off the chart right here. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. Let's just set this whole psalm up right there with that part. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. Now, I've got a lot of things I'm going to put up on the screen. I've given Mark a lot of little phrases and verses and things we're going to talk about today to help you kind of stay with me here. But let's just concentrate for just a second on Psalm 1, verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful. Your testimonies are wonderful. And so where the word wonderful comes from is it would back up to the noun pala, and lo and behold, when you look in the dictionary and you begin to look this word up, there's like one word that just pops right up for pala, and it's the word miracle. Miracle. So wondrous is kind of the adjective, and you and I might say miraculous, but it means a miracle. Your word is miraculous. It's beyond borders of natural things. It just does amazing things beyond the normal borders of life. Your word is miraculous. So let's just think about that for just a second. The word you're holding in your hand is beyond borders of the natural things. The word we hold in our hand is miraculous. It just does things. That's cool. That's amazing. And look what it says. Your testimonies are wonderful. Let me back us up a little bit. Let's look at some of this word here. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. This is Moses, his song after they came through the parting of the Red Sea. Exodus 15, verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You, God, blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders, miracles? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Wow. I mean, think about that. Think about that. Our God is a miraculous God. He has given us His Word that is miraculous, that goes beyond the borders of normal things. I mean, we serve that type of God. And though our enemies may just look like they have us backed up, they just have us there, we're never defeated because we serve a miraculous God. And He's given us His Word that teaches us how to live beyond the borders, how to walk upon the waters, as the song said. How to achieve things that look unachievable. How to win victories that look unwinnable. Well, we have that kind of God, and He has given us His Word. Here's another one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Wonders or miracles or things beyond the natural, so to speak, are really prominent throughout the Bible. The Bible often uses the word wonders, but if you trace it through the entire Bible, actually our faith, our religion, our belief, the entirety of it is really filled with wondrous, miraculous things. So much so that the enemy will even imitate it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. And you know this is kind of an end times thing about the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God Himself will send them a strong delusion so they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in their unrighteousness. So even this one, this Antichrist, this world leader that will come by the power of Satan, will be doing false signs and miracles to deceive those who don't love God's miraculous, amazing truth. And then at some point when this person comes on the scene, God will shut the door and send them a strong delusion so they can't. They will follow this leader because during this church time, this church age, they refused to take God's miraculous word and dive in and love it. Basically, they were helpless. Basically, they were defenseless because they refused this and they loved the pleasure of their unrighteousness. Wonders, miracles, amazing things that you and I hold in our hand, written by God. Your testimonies are miraculous. They're wonderful. Now look. Therefore, now you know what therefore is there for, right? When there's for, you know what there, you ask, what's therefore there for? Because your testimonies are miraculous. Because your word is just beyond borders, just off the chart. I look at your word. I love it. I'm like, wow, look at it. Because I know that, my soul keeps it. Because I love your word. Because I see how amazing it is, my soul goes, yes, I love your word. I'm going to keep it. Now, let's just think just for a minute here. Just for a minute about keeping the word of God with my soul. With my soul. It's not routine. It's my soul. From in, deep in, from the life within me. Boom. I just read the word and I swallow it and it sinks in into my soul. My soul keeps you. Now you know that the word of God has that power, right? So Hebrews chapter 4, right? We know this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10, I guess. I gave him verse 10. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning, it's able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of my heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all, every creature, every person is naked and exposed to the eyes of whom we must give account. So we know that the Word of God, when we read it, it will cut so deep into our soul and into our life that it will expose the intentions of what we're doing, our motivations, what we're really doing. We know the Word of God has that power. I don't know if science has that power to go into the soul and the spirit. I mean, that in itself is wondrous, is miraculous. That this has so much power to go into us to that depth and that level, and that before God we are naked and exposed, He is able to see right down into the very soul and spirit of our being, into the intentions of what we do. He sees. And so the Word is such a beautiful, wondrous thing. It will go there and expose it to us so we can follow Him the way we want to. The Word is that powerful. It's that wonderful. It's that miraculous. Your testimonies are that beautiful, amazing, miraculous, and I know it, and therefore, because I know that, my soul keeps them. I wonder if that's why some people don't. Because they know, if I get in the Word of God, if I really read the Word of God, it's going to go deep in there. And I'm going to go, you know what I mean? I mean, I wonder if that's why people don't read it. Because they don't. They don't want to feel that way. They don't want to be exposed. Well, you are exposed. We're already exposed to God. And we might hide our heart from ourselves by not reading the Word, but we're already exposed. Those of us who do see the Word of God as that miraculous sea parting Word of God, dividing the sea of our heart, the soul, and the spirit, those of us that see that miraculous power, we go, man, I want it. Boom. Therefore, I keep it with my soul. I keep it with my soul. There's a big difference between keeping the Word of God with our soul and this kind of just routine thing. It's like soul or routine. I mean, and I don't want to downplay routine of, you know, every morning I get up and I read the daily bread, or every morning I get up and I read two verses and then I go to work, and every day, every night at this time I sit down and read it and I go, and then the routine is good. I don't want to say that. But could I ask us to really ask ourselves, do I keep the Word of God with my soul? With my soul. Man, I want the Word of God in me, as deep as it'll go. I want it in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. I want it in me. And so when I see it, I have such a love and a beauty and appreciation for the Word of God. It's just not about, okay, I'm gonna pray for 15 minutes, I'm gonna read the Word of God. That's good. That's okay. But would you say that's your experience with the Word of God? I mean, you just take it here to your soul. Maybe you just need to sit and think for a minute, what is this that I'm holding in my lap? It's miraculous. It goes beyond borders. It walks across upon the waters. It cuts where science can't go. It's God's Word. And this psalm writer is like, this is emphatic right here. He is going, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them, oh God. That's how this is written. He is shouting and praising his God for the miraculous nature of God's Word and how he just takes it to soul. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful opening to this portion of Scripture. He goes on. This miraculous Word, oh God, he's just praising. He's just praising God. Oh God, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. The unfolding of your words. Now here, you don't see this, but the word unfolding paythak, that's how I would pronounce it. I'm sure that's not how they pronounce it. There's your pay, it's payday. The unfolding, the opening of your words gives light. The unfolding of your words gives light. Now look carefully up here at your screen. the unfolding of the words, of God's words, gives light. The opening of them. Light and understanding to the simple. The unfolding. Unfolding of your words. It's a t-shirt. Came from downstairs. It's all folded up really nice. And to wear it, you would unfold it. It's all folded up. It's got layers. And you just unfold it. And there it is. Just this beautiful white t-shirt. And so he says that when you unfold God's words, it gives light. It gives life. If you're ever in a dark place, wherever there's darkness, unfolding the words gives light and understanding to the simple. Let me unpack this just a hair. Let's look at some Proverbs. That's just ahead a few pages. The book of Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Just ahead. Proverbs chapter 16. And I'm going to read another proverb. I'm not going to give you the reference for it. But just something we can kind of contrast it against. You turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16. And I'm going to read the contrast, the other side of this understanding. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So that's the other side. The fool takes no pleasure in understanding. He doesn't have understanding. He doesn't want to understand. He just wants to give his opinion. Here's the situation. Here's my opinion. Okay? But the simple that want understanding, in Proverbs 16:16, it tells us how much better to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Wisdom and understanding, and they're kind of synonymous, are better than gold and silver. That's pretty amazing. Proverbs chapter 9, wisdom has built her house. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn its seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in there. To him who lacks sense, she says, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Wisdom has prepared itself in the city so that the simple, everything is ready for the simple to step inside and receive this wisdom and this understanding. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The simple, Proverbs 14, verse 15, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. The simple believes everything, whatever anybody says, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. The prudent thinks wisely, insightfully. The simple are able to. The simple are able to get this wisdom and understanding. And that's key. God has prepared wisdom to be received. She has hewn her pillars, made her meal. I mean, everything is prepared for the simple to receive this understanding and this wisdom. The simple, they don't understand anything and they believe everything. They just want to give their opinion. They believe anything they're told. But those who step into the house of God's wisdom, think about it. Take it to soul. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Now here's the great part. Here's the great part. God has done everything in preparing wisdom for the simple. For none of us to live believing whatever anybody says, turn on the TV, turn on whatever, whoever at work, whatever. You just believe everything. And you just really want to give your opinion. You don't really want to dig and understand. And God says, no, you know, I have prepared this so the simple can walk through my door and receive understanding and insight and wisdom. If you're a person that says, you know, the Word of God is just too thick, too deep, too hard, too... I want you to know God has prepared His Word for you to be able to walk through the door and receive His wisdom. It's not too hard for you. It's not too above your pay grade. It has been prepared for you to walk into it and eat from the table of God's wisdom. You're one of those people who's very gullible. You just like to believe whatever anybody says. You don't like trouble, confrontation. You don't like to push back against the common wisdom of the day. God's Word is there for you. The door is open for you to come in and receive His miraculous, amazing wisdom. If that's who you are, you've always struggled with the Word of God, God's prepared it for you. It is there for you. That's a beautiful thing. It imparts, it gives understanding to the simple. If you open the words, you'll receive light. I'll be honest with you, it's why I teach the way I do. Right? That's what we're doing here. We are unfolding the words of God to give light. I could read this passage and I could speak for 45 minutes and tell you 10 ways to be a good person. But there's no light in that. So I teach this way. I open a scripture and I unfold it. Because there's layers. It's you can't wear it that way. You have to get it open. So I teach that way. You go, why do I need to know this Hebrew letter pei? Because it's part of the unfolding of God's miraculous Word. And it imparts understanding and wisdom to all of us. So I teach that way. That's what this is about. Opening His words to impart wisdom. In verse 131 then, He says, I open my mouth. And there it is. I open my mouth. We've opened the words. God's words are open. They've come out and they're here. And now I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. I long for them. Kind of a poetic way if you're a poetry kind of person or dramatic kind of person. You say, like, who opens their mouth and pants for God's words? He's just saying, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Man does not live by bread alone. And I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. And my mouth pops open and I'm like, I'm so hungry and I'm so thirsty for God's word to nourish my soul. That's what he says. I open my mouth. I'm so hungry and thirsty. I long for your commandments. I long for them. That's very New Testament. Very New Testament. If you would, turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. I want to show you just this little bit of a progression. 1 Peter chapter 2. May be familiar with this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Keeping in mind, our mouth is hanging open. We're hungry. I'm thirsty. My soul needs fed. 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander. Put all that away. You don't need that. And like a newborn infant, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. In the previous verses, he was just talking about God's word, the good news that was preached to you. And now he tells them, look, put away all this other stuff that's distracting you. And like a newborn baby. And we heard that little baby a little bit ago, didn't we? Longing for something. Right? What a picture. What a picture for us. That's what he's saying. That's what the psalmist is saying. I'm crying out. I'm longing to be fed in my spirit. Your word. And Peter says, look, that should be us. Like newborn infants, long. If you've tasted of that pure spiritual milk. If you've tasted that the Lord is good. That baby knows. That baby's tasted what's good. And when it's ready, it will let you know. And God says, that's how I want you to be. I want you to long for it. Now, interesting enough, in Hebrews, there's a bit of a different little thing. Hebrews chapter 5. So we're longing for it. In Hebrews chapter 5, was just back, just a few pages. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13? For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, their understanding, their insight, their wisdom. They're able to discern. They feed now, they have left the milk of the word, and they're now into the depths, the meat of the word. They're mature and their powers of discernment are trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. They don't believe everything they hear, everything they're told. They've gone from a babe just drinking milk. And they still cry out. They still get hangry. But now their food is meat. Now it's deep into the word. Now they're really unfolding. They're really unfolding these things. They're not on Gerbers anymore, and they're not on bottles anymore, man. They're at the Roadhouse. They're eating meals now. Still longing for your commandments. I open my mouth. I am so hungry in my soul. Feed me. What a beautiful description. Those three verses just describing the magnificence of the Word of God and where we see it and where it goes in us and our hunger and our soul. It's just beautiful. It is why I teach the way I teach. No questions. I believe this. And I try and impart this. And I know that sometimes we don't all understand it. But if you get a taste, a small morsel lands on your soul, I'm praying you'll want more. I'm praying you'll go, I want to do that. I want to taste more of that. I want to sit down with my Bible and feed that way. That you've tasted and seen the Lord is good. And you develop a hunger for unfolding the Word of God. So, he moves now to his kind of prayer, his plea. He's been praising, he's been lifting up. It's magnificent. Wow, the Word of God. That's why I keep it. That's why I treasure it. That's why I unfold it. That's why I'm so hungry for it. It's miraculous. It does amazing things. So he says in verse 132, turn to me, God, turn to me. Turn your face to me and be gracious to me. As is your way with those who love your name. He's not saying you love the name like I love my name, Terry. That's a great name. I love my name. I love your name. It's Ted. It's Matt. I love that name. That's not what he's saying. Our name is a memorial to our character, right? Our name is Matt Long. Everybody thinks, oh, about the character of this guy. Who is this? If I say Tanner, and they think, okay, who's Tanner? Okay, Tanner. And right away, some flavor, some character comes to your mind. It's a memorial. So he says, everybody that just loves God, those who love your name, they just love who you are, you turn to them. That is your way. That's more than natural. The way of God is to turn to those who really love who He is. As is your way. That word means judgment or decision. Doesn't mean just naturally who He does. It's just naturally what He does. He's cool. No. It means He has made a decision, a conscious decision, a conscious judgment, a promise to you and you and you and you. Any one of us who love who He is, I'll turn to you. I'll turn to you. And I'll be gracious to you. I will pour this out to you. You have that promise. That's what He's promising us there. It's more than just a, boy, I hope He does. No, He's made a conscious judgment decision. If you love Him, His name, who He is, He will turn to you. And that's what He's praying. Okay, turn to me. Pour it on. Pour it on. You know I love you. You know I love who you are. I love your word. Turn to me. He says, I will, because that's my way. That's my decision. That's my judgment. And he says, keep steady my steps according to your promise. Verse 133, keep steady my steps according to your promise. This is God's way. What he's praying for? Keep steady my steps. Keep my steps like in order. Keep my steps consistent, in order. I want on God's path, according to your word, not on my plan, but on God's path. I want you to help me to walk steady on the narrow road. And I know God's way is the narrow way. And I want you to just kind of keep the drumbeat of my steps just right on God's narrow way, according to your promises, according to your plan, not mine. I mean, I could map out a plan for my life. I could. And it could be pretty consistent. I mean, many people have. They have mapped out life, and they have a plan for life, and they seem to be doing really well. It's all good. But no, for us who love God, see His Word as miraculous and amazing, something from there. No, our heart cries, Lord, just keep me on your narrow path. Just keep me steady right there. According to your plan, not mine. I mean, I have plans. I have things I'd like to do. I got plans everywhere. But no, Lord, I want to stay right on your path and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Let no iniquity get dominion over me. You know what he said, right? Let no sin rule me, control me. That's what he said. According to your word, your promises, Lord, you've promised, you've prepared it for the simple, for anyone, you've prepared it. It gives me light. It's there. I can receive it. It's all prepared. It's all ready to go. I'm praying, and it's your way. It's your decision that, yes, I will turn to you. I will be gracious to you if you love my name. You get in my word. If your soul is craving it, it's feeding your soul, I'm just going to keep you right on my path, and I will let no sin control you. None. And I really like the word he used here for sin. Because you know what it really means? It means to see and serve. To see and serve. It's from the word ayin, that letter we did before. See and serve. I see it and I serve it. Lord, help me not to see and serve anything that floats through my path. And I go, oh, well, I want that. Well, blah. Sin, see and serve. See and serve. Help me, Lord, that I'm not the type of person that what I see, I serve. But whoa, off the path. Nope, Lord, you keep me right on your narrow way. Keep my steps just consistent, just right there, steady, stable. I see things. Nope, I'm good. Don't let anything control me. Anything help cause me to go, that's great. The Word of God, it's miraculous. It's amazing. And he's praying for that. Let it come in. I love you. Oh, so many, right? This is our country, isn't it? See and serve, see and serve, see and serve, see and serve. I'm not going to church, man. I'm not reading that Bible. I want to see and serve. I have pleasure in my unrighteousness. And he says, no. Get in the Word of God. This is consistent. This is direction and protection. I think it's amazing for us. You know what it speaks to? Addictions, right? Addictions. Don't have to. Get in the Word of God. Let Him recreate. Let Him change. Habits, just bad habits, just weak habits. Get in the Word of God. Let it penetrate into your soul. Hebrews speaks of weights and sins that so easily beset us. The weights. You'd struggle to call it a sin, but it's a weight. Man, get into God's Word. Do you love Him? Does your soul crave Him? He'll keep you from going that way. And in verse 134, His final plea there, redeem me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Redeem me. Redeem me from man's injustice. Redeem me from man's pressures, from man's ways want to come upon me, and keep me from keeping your precepts. Redeem me. Now you and I think that redemption, that sounds like New Testament language, doesn't it? Redeem me? Pay for my freedom? It is. It actually is. Stay in the Psalms and turn back to chapter 26. Stay in the Psalms and turn back to chapter 26. Chapter 26, verse 11. Psalm 26, verse 11. Psalm of David. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity, redeem me, and be gracious to me. That really sounds like New Testament language. Redeem me, graciousness. Psalm 119, it says, be gracious to me. Did you know grace and redemption run through the Bible? It's not just this brand new weird concept of the New Testament. Redemption, Him buying us back, paying for our freedom from man's oppression, from man's sinful ways, from my seeing and serving. He has bought us. He is paying for freeing us, releasing us to freedom, and giving us grace to do it. Psalm 69. And it just sounds so New Testament, doesn't it? Redemption and grace. Psalm 69. Verse 16. And this is the heart of someone who knows God is good, who's tasted that the Lord is good, whose soul craves the Bible, craves His Word. Psalm 69, verse 16. Answer me, O Lord. You can hear it, can't you? Answer me, Lord. Answer me. For your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. There he is again. Turn to me, Lord. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Hurry, Lord. Hurry up. I need an answer. Draw near to my soul. Redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. Pay for my freedom, Lord. Set me free. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I'm in despair. I looked for pity. There was none. There was no one that pitied me. And I looked for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. And that's Jesus. In John 19, He hung on that cross, and they gave Him sour wine to drink. In John 19 it says, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled, they held up to him sour wine to drink, and he had no one to comfort him, no one to come to his rescue. This is redemption in Jesus. That is what he's talking about. This redemption in grace. Redeem me. Redeem me from man's oppression. Lord Jesus, redeem me, Savior God. Pay for it. Release me. Set me free from everything this world wants to heap up on my shoulders, from everything they want to pressure me and injustice and things. And I'm not believing everything they say. Release me, set me free by your word, by your miraculous, amazing word, so that I can keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, which simply means smile upon me. Smile with favor. Look at me and smile, God, and teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. Imperative. This is imperative. Teach me. Smile on me. Teach me. That's the language. That's the mood. Is that your opinion of God smiling on you? When you think, yeah, God smiled on me. He teaches me. That's how he smiles on me. He teaches me. He teaches me about himself. He teaches me his word. He unfolds the words and paints this picture of himself that I couldn't see before. He's smiling on me. I love to learn. That's what it's saying. Do you love to learn? Do you want to learn? That's God smiling. Smile on me and teach me. Help me. Set me free through your miraculous, amazing word. I don't want to be simple. I don't want to just believe everything everybody says. Lord, help me. Teach me. Ah, what a heart. What an amazing, amazing heart. And he ends in verse 136. My eyes shed streams of tears because people don't keep your law. Now let's get this straight here. He started out like on this high note, just praising God, just going, you are amazing. Your word, what you've given us, is absolutely beyond borders, off the chart, crazy amazing. Your word is so amazing. It's miraculous. My soul just feeds and loves, and I love your name, and I'm just, wah! He went from there to a cry and a plea for more. Now, all it does for me, it keeps me on the right path. It keeps me from seeing and serving. I just want more, and I want more, and I want more. And he went from there to this dependent kind of prayer to, now I'm crying. Now I'm crying because there's so many who don't. And it makes me cry. It makes me weep for those who don't know the miraculous, gracious, soul-freeing nature of who you are in your word. And I weep. And I say, that sounds like life to me. I can be praising God and in his word and loving life and crying the next for someone who just is not there, who can't stay on the path, who is just seeing and serving everything, and they just don't have that love and appreciation and depth for the miraculous miraculous nature of our God and His Word. And I can go from wah to wah in very quick order. Because I want them. I want them. I want you to taste. Give me a piece of that candy bar, man. I wanted you to taste this. This is amazing. My wife just made something and you've got to taste this. That is our life. That is the life of the Christian. How did you get in that trouble? How did you find yourself in this situation? Oh, you left the path, didn't you? And that is our life. Joy and wonder, to dependence, to tears. Just like that. I love this passage. I love this. The Word of God. Let's just be plain. This is the Word of God. It's miraculous. It has a miraculous nature to it of God. It has miraculous power. It goes places science can't go. You and I can't. It goes places. It has power to change and totally transform. Turn the simple into insightful and wise and amazing. And so, yes, in a simplest form, I'm praising the Word of God this morning. I'm asking and pleading and begging and unfolding it and going, oh man, don't neglect this treasure from heaven we have on our laps. You can do so much more than you ever dreamed if your soul obeys it and hungers for it. You can unfold it because it was prepared for the simple. We can be a family rich in the Word of God. So I want to close. Wow, I am running really late. I want to close with a hypothetical situation. I find it just amazing that our praise team was reading Revelation to you. That's very cool. I'm so happy we're reading and just listening to the Word of God. But I want to give a hypothetical situation. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 2. Speaking of the Word of God and not wanting to listen to everything. Psalm chapter 2, verse 2. There it is. Mark has it. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. So we understand that the rulers of the earth, the authorities that we talked about last week, that they don't know God. And we know, right? Because we've read the Bible, we've read the rest of the story. We have an entire book of Revelation. We know the end story, right? All the kings, all the nations, they gather themselves there against the Lord. He knew that. He knows that's coming. All right? So all the authorities eventually kind of move to wage war on that one coming on the white horse against God. Because that's the enemy. He's against God. So I want to, if you would, just would you listen? Just listen as I want to read a thread through the Bible of some of that revelation, some of that time when the authorities and the rulers and the kings begin to poise themselves against the Lord and His anointed. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, the authority of Christ, have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them night and day before our God. And they've conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. That day's coming. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea, this ruler, this authority over the world. It had 10 horns and 7 heads and 10 diadems on its crown, on its horns, and blasphemous names on its head. These are kingdoms, these are rulers, these are kings of the earth. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like bears. One of his heads seemed to have a mortal wound. One of these kings seems to be killed, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they follow the beast, this ruler, this Antichrist, this coalition, whatever it is, this Antichrist, this beast, the whole earth follows him. And they worship the dragon, for he had given his authority to this beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? And it was allowed to exercise authority for 3.5 years, and it opened its mouth and it utters blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling. It was allowed to make war on the saints, on the church. It was allowed to make war on the saints, on the church, and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and every people and every language and every nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it. And everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb was slain. That day's coming to planet Earth. And there was a second beast that rose up, and it exercises all the authority of the first beast. Now, it's more of a religious figure with this authority, political figure. There's a figure right beside it, a second beast. He seems to be more of a spiritual, kind of a religious nature. It says it performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it's allowed to work, God allows it, in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, causes all of them to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it's the number of man. His number is 666. And another angel says, if anyone worships this beast and its image and receives this mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will drink of the wine of God's wrath poured out full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will go up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshipers of the beast and the image, whoever receives the mark of its name, fire and torment forever and ever and ever and ever. And listen to what it says. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints. Those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. So I've said, I'm 50-50 on this rapture. I mean, I've always believed that, but I'm really kind of 50-50 on it because I see where I think we could go through this time. And this says, this is endurance of the saints, those who believe the word of God and have faith in Jesus Christ. And I know that at a certain time, God closes that door and sends them a strong delusion. So I'm saying there are saints here who have faith in Christ and just love and cherish and read, and they get this word and they have wisdom and insight, and they can see this beast, this thing coming, and this authority. They have that insight. And I don't have the final answer on the book of Revelation or end times. I'm just looking at this going, it calls for the endurance of the saints. For those who take this to soul right here. Hold their faith in Jesus. That sounds like a believer to me. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name. And there will be those who conquer it, that the wisdom and understanding from His word and His commandments, standing beside the sea with glass harps, singing to God, singing the song of Moses. We started out our message this morning with that. Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? I love your name. Turn to me. And he does. You alone are holy, and all nations will come and worship you. We've conquered the name of this beast and the number. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet. He's a religious figure who in its presence had done signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. Listen. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the Word of God. And for the Word of God. And for the Word of God. They stood on their testimony and their faith in Jesus and the Word of God, and their heads were chopped off. Those who had not worshipped the beast or its image, had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And he closes the book of Revelation. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. That sounds like a pretty serious time where we need the wisdom and the understanding, insight to endure. We don't know when it's coming, but we already know that things are turning slowly, turning against our God and Savior. And He's provided the wisdom and the insight that it will need. You don't need to be afraid. He's provided it here. It's prepared. Oh, take it to heart. take the Word of God to your soul. Read it like it's your life. Take it in like it's your eternity. And you will survive. You will endure. You will defeat those authorities that want to turn you away into the beast and his image and his number. So, I don't think that that day will come like this. They'll just say, no more God. Sorry, done. Close your doors, you're done, there's no more God. I don't think it'll come that way. That's not what the Bible says. I don't think it's going to happen that way. I think it's going to happen more like this. They're going to go, well, yeah, you can still have your God. And you can still have your church. But, well, there's a few things that you can't do. And you have to do them our way. But you can still have your church. But not those things. You can't preach those things from the Word of God. Right? I mean, they're just not going to erase God. But they are going to say, well, look, I did, not those things. We will tell you, we will lay the foundation for you. And you can still have your God, but there's just things. And little by little, yeah, well, yeah, you can still have your God, but yeah, he's still there. I mean, you know, I just heard last night, you know, there's a church in Red Square in Moscow. There's a church there. It's a state church. I mean, it does just what the state tells it to do. There's a church right in the Red Square. Now, they don't preach, but only what the state tells them they can preach and talk about. And they don't take away God. They just go, no, we'll fill in the blanks here for you, and we'll create. We'll help you. We want to help you. And so then now, I think that's how it'll come. So I would ask you, hypothetical situation pertaining to the Word of God. It's a hypothetical situation. This is pretend. What if you got up one day and you had a habit? There are some preachers that you really like to listen to, say on YouTube or on Facebook or on somewhere, and these guys really, really, really preach the Word of God. I mean, they you know what I'm saying? I mean, boom. What if you got up one day and they were no longer available on YouTube or Facebook? They'd been canceled. Facebook decided, no, these guys are insurrectionists. These are radical religious people. We can't have this. Off. Oh, this is hypothetical. What if that happened? And you couldn't turn on your favorite preacher. Oh, you could listen to Joel Osteen or some of these guys kind of patting you on the butt and just saying, yeah, you're such a good person. God wants you. You can get all that because that's fine. But somebody who's going to unfold the words of God and tell you what sin is and what life looks like, at least in God's eyes, and they're going to unfold it in no uncertain terms. What if they just disappear from the internet? And you can't do virtual no more at your church, because they control that too. And you're not one of our churches. They know everything you're doing virtually, right? So all of a sudden, these certain, not all of them, we're not telling you you can't have church. Just parts. These insurrectionists, radical ones, they disappear. And all you have left is to pray. And the Word of God, the Bible, and us. It's all gone. At least anything of worth. It's all gone. It's been canceled. It's you and your Bible. And you and your prayer. And us. And you can't wait. You can't wait because we're going to meet. You can't wait to get together with your fellow believers in Christ. Talk about what the Word of God really says. Because we hold each other up and you're hurting. You're starving. And instead of us going, it's Sunday, do I got to get up and go to church? We're like, I can't wait. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to hug you. To show you what I've been studying and reading. And to just compare with each other what it really says. To hold each other up. Because there's a mark and a day coming. And it's going to be hard for us to buy for our family. Buy food and clothing for our family. Our businesses aren't going to be able to sell what they want to sell if they're not signed up with the state. And we're going to be hurting. We can't wait to get together. This is all we have. Better hide it. You better keep some copies somewhere. Wait, I don't know when this day. This is all hypothetical. This is all hypothetical. I don't know when this day's coming. I just know it is coming, right? We just know it is coming. And you can still have your church. You can still have your church. Just sign on the dotted line right here. Just sign on the dotted line. We'll take care of you. We'll guide you. We'll help you. I'm begging you. It's all hypothetical, mind you. Read the Word of God. Take it to soul like it's your life, your eternity, your breath. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And should this day come sooner than we think, we will need its life. Read it. Devour it. Saturate yourself in it. Be a person of understanding and don't be simple. Do not listen to everything anybody says. If you're going to turn the volume up on something, don't turn the volume up on your television set. Turn the volume up on your prayers. Cry out to Him for wisdom and direction and to keep your steps steady on the narrow road. And you have nothing to worry about. Maybe losing your head. But other than that, you're fine. Be in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the patience of these saints to listen. Pray we'll take it to heart. I pray for Your wisdom and understanding for Your life. Oh Lord, we need your grace and your redemption through Christ and Christ alone. Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, turn your face to us and smile. In Jesus' name, amen.